Welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast. I, of course, am Brian Wampler, back again with Blake Weiland. Today we talk about our best clean tones, our best recorded clean tones, I guess you could say, for our favorite bands. And that goes into Pearl Jam, because Pearl Jam was had one of my favorite clean tones. And so I go into how Pearl Jam actually influenced me to help get into effects in general back when I was a mere youth. And then we also talk about some inexpensive amps, such as the $90,000 Dumble I just saw for sale. So let's jump right into it.
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
Very well. How are you?
I am quite splendid. Quite splendid indeed.
As you can tell, I still have the dreaded Indiana allergy, so for the next 3 months, expect me to sound like I have a cold.
That's actually my new band.
What? Having a cold?
No, Indiana allergy.
That's a great name for a band. That's totally. So I'm supposing you guys are getting ready to get your pictures taken, you know, next to an abandoned building somewhere.
Yes. Well, we thought about going down to the railroad tracks, but that was a little too cliche. So we went with the abandoned building, yeah.
So have you ever noticed this about band pictures? Like, you have everybody looking cool, right? That you got the guitar player and the bass player and then the drummer with, like, I've got my sticks. I've got my sticks, guys.
It's awkward, right? It's like, it looks cool to hold a guitar. Even if it's not plugged in and you're a doofus holding it out in the field.
It's like the Ricky Bobby thing. He's like, what do I do with my hands? The drummers always look uncomfortable. That's no fair. Everybody's got something cool. I just got my sticks, man.
Right. Why wouldn't you guys let me bring my kit? I don't understand.
I can not bring cymbals. Just let me have at least a bass drum.
Yeah, let me have a kick. Something.
You know,
it is kind of awkward. It's also it's right up there with the, you know, the music videos where the band, they're rocking out like in the middle of a field somewhere, and like there's no chords anywhere.
Oh yeah, I love those videos. We're just in the middle of this field, and you know, we thought we'd run some, you know, 1,000-foot long extension cords to these amps behind us.
Right, but no instrument cables. No instrument cables at all.
Well, I know a lot of times whenever you see people with a guitar that is plugged in that situation, you probably know this. Like, they'll just have a short plug and, you know, the cable's tucked in their back pocket or something.
Right.
Even on, like, some award shows, you know, people have done that. So
totally.
Mm-hmm.
It's that weird thing, like, all this, you know, showmanship stuff. It's kind of like the classic thing you see where there's the wall of amps and none of them have speakers in it, and it's like a Mike Deluxe reverb in the back.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've seen pictures. I've seen it up close where it's a wall of amps, so it looks like it, but they're basically like 4 inches wide. You know,
and
there's like, it's just grill cloth. It looks like an amp to the audience, but you get next to it, and actually, this is kind of funny. So on a big name act, I don't know if I should say the name because I know these guys, very big name act. There's a bunch of 412 cabinets, like you said, but the cabinets were oversized by 150%. Right?
Whoa, weird.
So like, yeah, it was like much bigger than your average amp, right? And the guys actually had like a deluxe reverb that, you know, something like that. They're using behind the scenes, like underneath the stage. It's a big Coliseum tour. I found it funny. There's a picture of me somewhere out there, like standing next to the back of them. Kind of the side, so you can see what they're supposed to be, but it's just like plywood, basically.
Right. Well, think of how much the roadies would hate it if it was actually a loaded cab.
Yeah, 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 that's true. And plus, I mean, you know, well, hold on, you know what? I can't mention that name either, but there's another big-name country band that was using, I want to say, Peavies. Mm-hmm. I think they had Peavies on stage or something like that, you know, just this is a branding thing.
Right.
And, you know, that
it wasn't a PV that he was actually playing, though, is what you're saying?
I don't think so. But But I mean, they were real amps, though. They were turned on and everything.
On standby.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That's an interesting maneuver, but okay. But yep. I know, like, Ryan Adams, I know we've talked about him before, and you said Bryan Adams, who, what?
Yeah, yeah, Summer 69, love that song.
Yeah, he hates that joke.
I know, I'm just teasing.
He has, like, purposely, like, he has his real amps on stage, and then he has purpose, like, stage props that are obvious stage props that are just huge. He's got, like a
tree or something, or what?
Well, he's got, like, for a long time, he was famous for playing Princeton's, and so he had a Princeton, but then he had a huge Princeton, like, made up on stage as part of, like, his stage props, and it was, like, clearly...
Like, 7 feet wide, like the, like the fake Boss pedals you see and stuff, and I think Cusack actually made a big pedal for NAMM once.
Oh, yeah, he made a big reverb. But it actually worked.
Yeah, it actually had the circuit wired inside, and that's John Cusack for you. He actually made the 3 foot or the 1 foot wide knobs work.
I thought it was funny. That was a good call.
It was great. Yeah, he's a pretty bright dude, man.
Oh yeah, for sure. So he's a smart cookie.
Yes, he is. Why do they say smart cookies? Like, cookies have no intelligence, do they? I've never asked a cookie, I guess.
No, I just eat it. I don't give it a chance to express its feelings.
So basically, you're a cookie killer.
I probably kill less cookies than the average individual. I'm not much of a sweet guy. I'm more of a meat guy.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. I'm not... Never mind. hello, Mrs. Weiland. Okay, so... I've got a question for you, Blake.
Uh-huh.
This is a very serious question.
Oh, okay. Let me put my serious face on here.
So,
okay, I'm ready.
Imagine, like, soft background music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get real close to the mic and get real serious with my low voice. What is the epitome of your perfect clean tone?
Ooh, that is serious. Now let me get in real close and tell you about it. My clean tone. I like my clean tone to be like, you know how you hear a clean guitar? I like it like that, but kind of dirty.
Okay, so let's talk bands.
Oh, talk bands?
Yeah, songs, bands. Yeah. Let's hear some of your favorite clean tones.
That's a really hard question now that we really think about it, or that I really think about it, because I can't remember the last time I turned on a song that had clean guitars as a focus point.
It can have effect. I'm not saying like totally dry.
No, I mean every song, like the last 100 songs I can think of that I've turned on have all had dirty guitar. I can't think of a single song that I just love. I mean, I know there is some, but I can't think of one off the top of my head that's like, ooh, that has great clean. They all have dirty guitar as the focus point. Yeah.
Have you heard of a guy named Eric Johnson by chance?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of them.
That's not clean.
Dude, some of his clean stuff is great. Oh my!
All I think of with him is Cliffs of Dover. I'm sorry.
No, you know. Oh no! I mean, I'm trying to figure out where to even start with that comment. I feel a little offended.
I don't listen to much Eric Johnson. I appreciate it, but I can't name another one of his songs. Did I just get kicked off the podcast?
So you have some homework. You need to go listen to Eric Johnson playing live, okay?
In
a YouTube video of him playing live. He's going to mix in like this very ethereal sounding delay and reverb and chorusy type of thing.
Okay.
And then he'll switch back and forth between the clean stuff and then go into his dirty stuff. And he'd like the chords and stuff, just the way he shapes a clean tone. I got to be honest. I dig it. I like it.
Is it the selection of gear he's using, or is it the way he chords things that makes it sound so good?
Both.
Interesting.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Oops, I just hit the mic stand to everyone's ears. I'm sure they're like, why was there a big boom in the background? Yeah, that was me bumping the mic stand. Sorry about
that.
It
wasn't him trying to summon Eric Johnson to scold me. Although it might have been, and I guess I wouldn't know that for sure, would I?
No, seriously, like, so since you're not, and I can obviously tell you're not a huge fan, but I think you'll really appreciate what he does around chords and with his use of effects. Mm-hmm. I think you would dig it, man. I really do. That doesn't mean that I know you're not a fan of like going out and to try to practice all the, you know, finger acrobatics.
Although I should, but yes.
So I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, one for me is Yellow Ledbetter.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
On okay. The ceiling, on a horse, run a rail, run a rail, run a free rail degree. You ever notice that Eddie Vedder sounds a lot like Scooby-Doo? Run, roll. Run the tree, ran, roll, Raggy.
It's a good observation. I've always noticed that, you know, the Eddie Vedder sound. But I never knew that it was Scoob. He was inspired by Scoob.
I think he was inspired. Someone gave him a Scooby snack, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he's totally like, roll, 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 Rob Steele, roll, Rive. Yeah.
That seems pretty accurate. I mean, but you got to remember that you always got to add the in there. There's a yeah.
Yeah, and you got to shake your head violently. Yeah.
Much love to Eddie, though.
Yeah, I say that kiddingly because I was a complete Pearl Jam fanboy. I still like him, but like I was completely. Okay, you know how I am with Brent Mason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And equally Brad Paisley, being like, you know, like I name my kids after him. So, well, at least one of them.
Right.
My daughter, like she didn't, like my now ex-wife, for this reason, would let me call my daughter Brad.
For like, this reason.
Like, what do you mean I can't, like we have Brent, that's my son, named mm-hmm. after Brent Mason. Why can't we call her Brad? Who says that has to be a guy's name? What are you, sexist? You know?
Yeah, that's not very progressive of you.
Yeah. I mean, what do you... God, that didn't last long. I'll tell you. So, anyways...
That's the reason for it. That's.
So, anyways, I completely was, like, totally into Pearl Jam. Like, I had all the flannels, the boots... You, mm-hmm. Like, you know, I mean, like, that was when I was a teen. Now, how old was I? Yeah, I'd be a teen. I was like, you know, senior, maybe 93, 94, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I was young. But yeah, like, we had a band that we all thought we were kind of trying to be Pearl Jam in a way. And we'd always play all the Pearl Jam songs, of course. And yeah, like, everybody copied everything they were doing. You know what I mean?
Of course. Right.
So. And I actually, it's kind of an interesting story where I remember we were doing a talent show. And keep in mind, like, we're all broker than a broker joke or, I mean, some other.
I'm not sure what that phrase is. Broke is a joke, but
broke
is
a token or something like that.
But broke. Had no dollars.
Yeah, we had no dollars to our cents. Mm-hmm. And I remember doing a talent show, and we had that. For that show, we were able to use this PA that had reverb on it.
Because
the PA we had was like a stereo or a Radio Shack one that didn't have reverb. It was, mm-hmm. like I said, it was a joke in itself because it was so bad. Anyways, so, you know, I got to use this reverb on this PA. And for whatever reason, it reminded me of like the reverb that you hear on all of Pearl Jam's 10 album.
Okay.
And so there was a period of time there that I was like going through this, actually still, yeah, like huge into reverb sounds, big time. Love them. I think it all stems back from that era where the reverb on the Tin album was so identifiable with me. And I loved like hearing every little nuance on things. So, you know, for part of the vocal, you hear like this big reverb, and then the next part, there won't be any reverb. And it just creates this dramatic effect. And so, like, I was always drawn to stuff like that.
Yeah, I had a realization here, three, 4 months ago. Like, I'm always talking about, I got so many fuzz pedals. I love fuzz. Fuzz is the best. And I still think that. But then I, like, looked at, I was like, you know what else, like, is my number two effect is I got a lot of reverbs. I just kind of subconsciously gathered some reverbs. Like, I love reverbs. Yeah. I have a ton of different ones. And I think it's a very important effect in music in general. It's probably technically the oldest musical effect, I would say. Maybe that's not true, but it makes sense to me.
No, I mean, because somebody's standing on a mountain and they're like, you know, yodeling or whatever. And they're like, oh man, check that out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
In the old churches or in the, you know, singing into a well, like there's all this different, like it's been noted for a while that reverb makes everything sound pretty cool.
Right. So. Yep. So speaking of reverb, I don't know if you just noticed this. So today is the 11th. And so yesterday on the 10th, we announced that we are coming out with the Ethereal in 6 days. Well, 5 days now. So by the time you hear this, I don't know, it may have already been released. But anyways, as we record this, it's the 11th. I'm letting some magic out of the bag. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so we just put out our video for the Ethereal. Our video, like me playing and stuff.
Yes.
And I keep noticing comments. People are like, is this analog?
And,
and we've talked about this before, I think, where...
last episode even may have mentioned this.
I think
this.
It was the last episode. But I literally woke up this morning, and that was the first comment I saw. That's the first thing I do when I wake up. I like look at all my messages.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the YouTube comments was, is this analog? So I literally woke up my wife going, yes, it's analog. We have a tiny little speaker and a tiny little mic in it at opposite ends of the box. You guessed it. She was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, nothing. I'm just being gripey because I've had coffee yet.
Yeah, that's true. It's analog reverb is indeed a thing.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, I think there actually are, if I remember right, I think I saw a pedal not too long ago where someone did cram a bunch of little springs into one.
Yeah, there's like one or two, small spring reverbs out on the market. I haven't heard just like glowing reviews about them just because he kind of like spring reverbs sound a little better when you got a longer tank.
Well, that's the thing. The size, like all the things to do with the springs, like size and thicknesses and coil size, like all this stuff. Yeah, it totally changes the sound of the reverb. So if you have a very limited space, like the size of a pedal, it's going to get a little sketchy. You know, it gets very challenging trying to make that sound like a big spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's so dependent on the actual physical properties, not an algorithm.
Yep, just like a plate reverb. Yeah, I mean, you could do an analog plate reverb. You'd need you'd be a gigantic pedal.
Yeah, you'd need a pedal the size of a piano.
Exactly.
I've often wondered, and I'm sure this has been tried before, but I think I've talked about it maybe on Tone Mob, maybe here, I don't remember. I would like to hear a small plate, because I've never heard a small plate to my knowledge. I'd like to know what that sounds like. Or maybe it doesn't sound at all. Maybe it's not possible, and I'm...
You know what?
Like, I bet a pipe dream.
I bet someone could take a beer can and make a plate reverb out of that.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
How cool would that be? Beer can reverb. There you go.
I wonder
Get your next product there, Blake.
Me?
Yeah, that's what you should put out next. Beer can reverbs.
If it sounded cool, it might work. Wouldn't use any of that Budweiser can, though.
Oh, no, you got to go boutique. I see. Yo, oh, you're poking fun at my little Facebook picture that was posted here a little while back.
Only because everyone else was.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. Okay, so Travis came up. Travis, formerly from this podcast, came over because he lives like 5 minutes away from me now.
Right.
So he came over to hang out, and we're like, dude, we should, like, this is like our third year anniversary of starting the podcast. 3 years ago, we started this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we should, like, you know, just throw a couple mics up. Because we start talking, I'm like, oh, man, wait, hold on. Let's just set some mics up, you know? And
right,
then
totally.
Record this. And he's like, cool. And I'm like, we should get some beer first. And he's like, what, do you got any? And I'm like, I don't know. So we went to the fridge, and I'm like, well, we got some Budweiser. And he's like, that's fine with me. And I said, well, it's cold, so, and it's here, and we don't have to drive 15 minutes into town to go get better beer. So this will work, right? And apparently the entire boutique pedal community has shunned me for this sin.
Yes. You need Imperial Stout, man. Let's get real.
I tried to redeem myself. The next day, I did go buy some our local Fountain Square Brewery, mm-hmm. here in Indiana, Fountain Square Brewing Company, as it may be, and I bought some because I dig their stuff, and I posted a picture. I'm like, see, I could be cool too. I could do it.
And everyone's like, whatever, poser.
Right, whatever. Now you're just buying it. You're trying to act like you're not. You know, like you're something you're not.
You're like that. You're like that teenage girl that wears the Thrasher sweatshirt. You don't skate.
That's perfect. Oh yeah, yeah. Or I see like a lot of young kids. Not young kids, but I see kids now. Well, this might be a few years ago. I think what's the store? These Kohl's, right? Which is like your average clothing mm-hmm. store or something. At least here in Middle America.
Yep.
And like they're selling like Metallica shirts and AC/DC shirts, and I'm like, that's just like they're supposed to look like concert shirts, right? Like all worn out concert shirts. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. No. Like I've got the concert shirt from 1985. That's legit, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, I guess.
Well, there's, it might still be going, maybe not. There was a guy that got real famous in the, he got famous in the famous people world, like with, you know, like Kanye and guys like that wearing his stuff. And what he would do is he would like go scrounge and find these old vintage concert tees. And for a while he was just selling them, like he'd find them and then sell them for like $300.
Right.
But then it got even worse. I can't remember the guy's name, but whatever. He doesn't need any money or promo from me. And then he would find them and then like recreate them and sell them for like $300. Like I'm just like, who's buying these the T-shirts for $300? I don't understand.
I don't know. That's like sneakerheads, you know.
That almost makes more sense to me. At least,
well,
it's,
I mean. Well, but I mean, there's shoes that sell for thousands of dollars.
Well, I know there's like lady shoes that
No. There's like Nikes that sell for like $1,000 for a pair because they only made 100 of them or whatever.
Is that why I'm having such a hard time finding me? I want to get me some Jordan, you know, some original style. They don't have to be legit original, but I'd like some original style Jordans, and I can't seem to find any.
I know they remade them. But before they did that, they were going for a lot of money on the Bay.
Wow.
Yeah, big time money. Actually, a friend of mine had a pair, and I forget how much he sold it for, but it was in the hundreds of dollars.
We're in the wrong market.
I'm telling you, man. Unless you own, you know, like an original Klon or something, you know, or something like that.
That's true.
Or a Dumble. If you're buying Dumble lamps, you know. What was the one I just saw? It was like $90,000 for a Dumble lamp.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I've seen them anywhere. A few years ago, I seen one for $60, and that was about the cheapest I've ever seen one. And then $90 to $120 seems to be pretty normal. which is like
$120,000
for an amplifier.
Holy cow.
Yeah. 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 I don't know if it sold for that price, but that's what it was listed at.
So can you imagine that? So what are you selling your house, sir? Oh, I just wanted to buy a double amp.
I don't think that the guys that bought that needed to sell anything. They probably just had it. And you know what? I got this weird lump in my back pocket. Oh, my wallet's so swollen with all the cash. I need to deposit some of this. Where should I throw it?
How do I get rid of this stuff?
Yeah. I have so much of it. I guess I'll just buy this amplifier. I know there's only $800 in parts in it, but hey, whatever.
I don't think you understand. This was made by magical wire.
Well, the crystal lattice, man.
Yes. Absolutely. I love lettuce, especially with salad dressing, but I just don't know what it has to do with an amp.
It takes a lot of lettuce to get that amp. I know that. But that was a dad joke. Wow, that was bad.
Oh, that was pretty bad, dude.
That was such a dad joke.
That's the next bad iTunes review. It's like, oh my gosh, Blake has the worst jokes. He sucks so bad.
Well, I do. That wouldn't be untrue at this point.
I know. What can you do?
I need to go get... Well, I think it's official now. I'm going to go shopping today. I got to go get some white New Balances, some khaki shorts, and one of them braided belts. Because I just became a real dad.
Well, are you... So you're not wearing khaki shorts right now?
No, I'm wearing some gray striped shorts.
So your workout shorts, basically.
No, these are my fancy shorts.
Have you noticed in my videos, I quit giving a care, and I just keep wearing workout pants?
Well, have you noticed that? That's because your legs are so swole, they don't fit into regular jeans.
That's true. Those, squatting 175, really works out the quadriceps. Hamstrings and so, the old glutes, working out the old glutes, can't put them into a pair of jeans, so gotta wear the workout pants.
Just gotta wear the workout pants, man.
I don't know.
What does that have to do?
I have no idea how we even got here.
I don't either.
I'm sure there's probably a drinking game somebody's playing somewhere, like every time they go off topic, drink a beer.
That wouldn't be good, though. That would be really bad. They would just have a constant beer funnel.
I was going to say.
They just hook up an IV. Like, they're never going to go on topic, so we're just going to go direct with this stuff.
Please stay on topic. I can't take any more. Please. I'm going to get sick.
Oh, no. Here they go again. Here they go. Oh, boy. For the record, we do not endorse playing any sort of drinking game that revolves around us. Anything.
That's a bad idea. Because wouldn't do that.
end up being responsible for alcohol poisoning or something.
Or we'd get a sponsorship with Budweiser. One or the other.
Maybe you should take a shot of Budweiser every time you hear Brian talk about a guitar. That would actually be much safer.
not as enjoyable, though. Right?
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on the episode and how we're driving for the day.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so here's my last topic for the day.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Sorry, my nose is literally dripping down me. This is horrible. Indiana, why must you hate me? That's not my question. That's kind of a
rhetorical
question.
This is going to be hard for me to roll with. I don't know why Indiana hates you. I never had the conversation with the great state of Indiana about why it doesn't like you.
Okay, so here's my next question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Solid state amps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've heard of the Quilters and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
Do you use, in your gig bag, do you have like a little, what would you call it? Kind of like a little portable amp. Sort of thing. Maybe a 5-watt, something that's you can throw in a bag.
I do not. However, for the gigging musician, I would say that would be not a bad call, because tubes and stuff do go out. Mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, I can go home for the night and not get paid, or I have this little handy backup situation. So I think it's a great idea, but no, I don't do it, but I'm also not getting paid to go play. So
I know like Electroharmonix has these. I forget what it's called, but it's like amp the size of a pedal, right?
It's called the 44 Magnum or something.
Yeah,
like that
sounds right. That sounds right. Yeah. I think they got a couple of different wattages, and I thought this is a really good idea. I don't hear a lot of people talk about them, but like, you know, whether I'm playing a praise and worship band or whatever, or whether I'm playing in some bar, like, to me, like, I would think everybody would want one, but I don't see a lot of people doing that. Maybe it's because maybe they're using like an amp, like a Tech 21 with an amp sim or something, you know?
Yeah, it could be. I guess I forgot about it. It depends on the situation you're playing in, of course, whether this would work or not. But for me, I guess I just thought of this. I have been carrying my new neighbor Iconoclast with me. But we're all mic'd up and, you know, through a PA.
So that's your backup then.
So that's technically my backup. So I kind of forgot that it's there, cause I don't use it, that my amps have been okay, but I have been bringing that with me with that thought in mind. So
I think if it were me, see, here's what's hard for me, because you know, I've thought about coming out with like an IR loader or something like that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, with a simple interface with your phone, you can get some really good impulse responses that, you know, and continuously download more and, like, you know, all the advantages that technology brings. You already got the phone, you know, with the $30 with an interface, you can just run direct into the mixer with that thing if you had to, you know? So, like, it's hard for me to justify coming out with a dedicated impulse response loader at this day in history.
Especially when there's already some out there, and then there's like the same thing that you just said. Like, what's you got? If you really want it, there's some that are available that are good.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you got your phone.
Well, and the thing is that, like, what makes that sound good is the actual impulse response. The actual file is what makes it good. It's not the loader or the hardware, or the software or whatever. It's the actual impulse response. So, for example, I just got a bunch of new impulse responses, and some of them are freaking fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, they sound so good. I'm like, holy crap, why am I bothering to mic up my amp, man? Like, I should, like, these sound just, you know, just awesome. But then I thought, you know what I could do? I should spend some time to get everything mic'd up exactly like I want it and just make my own impulse response, you know?
You sure could.
Yeah. And so, like, that makes it really easy to do. So anyways, yeah, I'm a huge fan of that stuff, if you can't tell. I've been nerding out lately.
And I get it, but I'm just like, I don't know. I'm spoiled. If I had to jam in my bedroom, yes, I would be super into all of that stuff. But the fact that is I'm super spoiled. I can just go out and turn it up. And and it's just like, no, I'm good. I got the real thing currently, so I'm okay. But if I was in, like, my house still, oh, man. Yeah, I'd be all over it, because my wife would be having none of that.
Well, so, yeah, and you actually play in a band where I don't, like, I'll sit in with bands every now and then, but I don't, there's not a group of guys here that just want to hang out and jam.
Right.
You know, or maybe there is, but... Like, it would have to be the situation where it'd be like, all right, I've got an hour. As long as everybody's there, I'll swing by and we'll do this. And then I can, you know, move on with my day. But I can't justify killing an evening very often, you know?
I thought you were going to start a Luke Bryan cover band. I mean, you got
girl, shake it for me, girl.
You got the chops, man. You sound just like him.
Well, you know, rain is a good thing. That's what they say.
Oh, no. No. You know?
Oh, yeah. Rain makes corn. See, that's the thing. Rain makes corn. Corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my baby get a little frisky. You know what I'm saying, man? You know? That means loving.
I have to hear that song every day. It's and I just like I'm gonna I found myself standing over the radio while no one was in there but me, and I'm like, I wonder if I could like shove a screwdriver through this speaker and anyone would suspect anything. Like, I'm like, I wonder what I can do here to like sabotage this radio so I don't have to listen to it anymore.
Well, I think part of the problem is you don't understand the historicity of it. See,
what?
Historicity of it. See, my daddy spent his life looking up at the sky. He'd cuss, he'd kick the dust, and say, son, it's way too dry, you know? But when it clouds up in the city, the weatherman then complains.
You know this way too well.
Where I come from, rain is a good thing. See, that's what I'm trying to say there, Blake.
I can't deal with this anymore.
Oh, it's hard for me to actually get out of that voice.
once you're sucked into the loop,
once
Brian.
Once I'm in, I'm like, let's do this. You know? I got to shake it out of me.
Brian. Get out of there.
Oh, man.
Oh, he's back. Oh, hey, Brian Wampler? Like, Brian Wampler, like, is that you?
I think so. It's like I was a part of a seance or something. Whoa, man.
That was frightening.
Channeling some Luke Bryan. Wow.
It's the last thing that needs channeled. Oh, boy.
I can't think of a better way to end it.
We did it again. We've done it. We've officially done it again.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I will have you know that, like, I, like, have my... You can't see me, obviously, so you wouldn't know this, but I have my hand over my mouth during that because I'm trying to, like, not blow the microphone up. So I'm just like, this is funny. I think it's funny. I hope everyone else does. They probably don't, but I do.
I've got a feeling that some Luke Bryan fans actually hate me now. If it makes you feel better, I actually play some of his songs in band. Yep.
Well, it doesn't make me feel better, but okay. Now we're... No.
Yeah.
No.
Dude, you know Brent Mason played on some of that stuff, right?
That doesn't make it good.
It actually does. No,
it helps, but...
actually does make it okay. Because here's the thing. All you got to do is skip to the solo, boom, instant gold.
Well, I believe that, but it's like trying to polish a turd. It's just not going to work.
If I had a dime for how many times I've heard people, I've heard session players say that.
I bet Brent said that a bunch.
I'm no names mentioned, but you know, I work with a lot of different studio players, and I've heard people say things.
They're like, what am I going to do with this? This is awful.
Like, I've heard, like, take that person out of my headphones.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that. Get the vocalist out of my mix right now. I can't take any more of this idiotic nonsense. That's so funny.
No, I wish it wasn't true. Not everyone. There are some great people.
Well, let's do all our listeners a favor and take ourselves out of their headphones.
Agreed. Until next week.
Later.
So thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys like it as well. If you have any questions or comments for me, you could always email podcast@womplerpedals.com. You can email Blake directly at info@tonemob.com. So thanks again for listening. And we'll talk to you next week.